You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
So welcome everyone to 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are weekly here in Appleton, celebrate entrepreneurs local and this year far. We have a great presenter today. We're wrapping up after, we know for sure that we had 31 presenters at 1 Million Cups Appleton this year. So after a 2020 of full of presenters through this new format, we're happy to welcome our final presenter of the year, Ted Carew, with a great local business based in Appleton. So thanks for representing the homeland, Ted, and you can take from here. I should say your company name. So it's Total Health and Safety Solutions. We got Ted Carew. Take it away, Ted.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Andrew, for that nice presentation. I'll just kind of quickly share my screen here. And let's see. Share. And we'll start. Okay. As Andrew was saying, I'm Ted Carew, president of Total Health and Safety Solutions. I just wanted to make sure everybody can see the screen okay. Okay, good. I see some good thumbs, so that's a good thing. So as we get started, you have questions or whatever, I'd like to kind of keep this somewhat a little bit interactive. I do have a couple interactive things, and we'll kind of start off with one, actually, because I believe it's important to keep things light. So I need an answer from somebody out in the audience that, why did the robber take a shower? Anybody know that? These are very difficult jokes. Took me a long time to think of course. Any responses would be good. No ideas? Well, it's to get a clean getaway. So, you know, these jokes, they got to be properly proper. But really, we're always wondering our whys, right? And I want to share with you our three whys. My personal why, our company why, and why we started the business. I think, first of all, I've been a safety director in safety for over 25 years. And we always remember certain incidents. I remember this one. I usually can't remember where I leave my car keys most of the time. But on this particular day, December 16th, 2008, I was in a clinic with my wife who was getting LASIK surgery. And I was reading through a magazine and my phone rang. And just to kind of give you an idea, I had to flip my phone open to answer it. That's how long ago it was. But I remember it as clear as yesterday. Or even today, got a call from a superintendent up in Green Bay who's working on one of our projects in construction. He said, all I could hear from Dick was, it's bad. It's bad. It's really bad. Ambulance here. Bad, bad. I just remember getting that feeling in my bones, in my core of shaking. He couldn't even explain what happened. I had to find somebody to take my wife home. I went up to Green Bay. As I got there, I kind of learned a little bit more about the situation. What had happened is that we had an iron worker that was working for us fall 20 feet. Fortunately, on the way down, he hit a beam. That beam probably saved his life, doctors will later say. As I got to the scene, there was blood all over the place. People were talking. I was trying to talk to some people, trying to get some ideas of what happened. People's faces were completely white. They couldn't talk. The effect that it had on everybody. To see this incident happen. I then had to go to the hospital and talk to the parents, which I'll never forget. The father was sitting there and his hands were shaking like this the whole time. He wasn't looking at me. He was looking through me. He had such anger, such concern for his son that was sitting in an ICU, not knowing if he was going to make it or not. His mom couldn't even talk. She was crying so much. Also had a fiance who had to talk to. They were planning on getting married in 6 months. That wasn't going to happen. Being able to have that conversation with those folks was not easy. And I made a determination that I was going to make sure these type of incidents don't occur. Part of my problem dealing with this incident was a decision I made the day before this incident. We have a policy of drug testing our employees before they go on the sites. One of our employees, who's a regular employee for us, got a call from Dick, the superintendent, who called me and said, "Hey, Ted, so-and-so didn't make the test. Can we let him go because he's a good worker?" And I said, "No, we have to bring somebody new in." And we did. That was the person that fell. It was a very trying time for me. So I wasn't too sure on how to handle that, but I knew that we had to make changes. I had to make changes in it. Our why for our company really is very similar to that. But when people even hurt their thumbs, hurt a hand, they can now no longer do the stuff with their families. You know, kids are depending on us, right? And can't go to maybe bowling if they're planning, doing things that they can do. I truly believe that we work to live, not live to work. And so we have to make sure that employees are going home safe each and every day. This is a picture of my family just recently. And that's why, one of the reasons why we started Total Health and Safety Solutions. I was sitting in May at our table, and I had two job offers of two companies that were giving me an opportunity to go work for them. And I just didn't feel right with them. There was something in it. Not that they were bad companies. I don't know that for sure, but I got the feeling that they were more about the OSHA rules than they were about the people, about how to make these people safe, make sure they're being safe. I just didn't have that good feeling in me. I'm a spiritual person. So as I looked into my computer, I had a picture of my family from spring break a year before. And I felt the Holy Spirit come in me and say, "Hey, Ted, it is time. It's time for you to start a business." I've wanted to start a business for probably 15, 20 years, but I've always put it off for a different reason here or there. Could be insurance, could just be this, or could be that, too much time. But I was fortunate enough to meet somebody, Andrew, who was able to let me know about some of these things that are going on. And so through this, we really learned that tomorrow's too late. We can't wait for tomorrow for things to happen. And that's our company logo, is that to know that if we wait till tomorrow, it may be too late. Overview of our company. We started in June of 2020, so we're a very new company. We're completely in a startup. What we offer is that we're a full-service health and safety company, kind of like what our name says, Total Health Safety Solutions. We're a turnkey health and safety company that provides anything from nursing services, such as nurses, COVID response, case management for once incidents do occur, physical therapy. And then on a safety standpoint, we offer what we call a fractional safety manager for companies that don't necessarily have the resources for a full-time safety person, but need safety. We come into their organizations and take care of that. We also mentor other safety professionals that aren't so involved in safety, that may just have gotten the position because nobody else would take it. Different reasons of that. OSHA citations, we help companies with OSHA citations. That incident that I was sharing with you, OSHA was on our job site for 2.5 days. And the inspector told me, he said, "I looked for everything to get you guys, but I had nothing to get you guys on." You know, so looking at that we're doing things right, making sure they are. And training. And lastly, we started probably about 3 months ago a podcast, which was a new venture completely. And so we wanted, the idea behind the podcast was to get as many people into our funnel as we could, asking them to come on our podcast, get to talk to them, get to know them a little bit. As many things do evolve, this has completely changed and has really kind of become a forum for safety professionals. We have some of the brightest safety professionals in this country on our show, have had them already and have more coming up from the National Safety Council, the most rising stars. So it's very exciting. We have grown from what I thought was just going to be locally Wisconsin, maybe other parts of the country, to 14 different countries now, with India and Germany having a lot of people that are listening to us. So knowing that we're making that extension is quite incredible. The markets that we're in, construction, which is majority of my background, manufacturing, which I also have a background in, and then working with insurance companies that have commercial type clients that may be struggling with safety. We come in and also help and assist those organizations. Our ideal client Our ideal client will be clients that are for profit, that are located here in the southeastern part of the state. Obviously, as being a new company, we're willing to expand past that, but we're always looking in that area. We specialize in construction, you know, design firms, general contractors, specialty kind contractors, and manufacturing. 0 to 200 employees is kind of our sweet spot with our fractional safety manager, you know, either with human resource or without human resource people. And then anybody that may have OSHA violations or have a high EMR, which is experience modification, really looking at life events, something that's going to make people say, hey, we got to take this safety seriously. We know that we have issues. And companies that have been in the business for 2 to 3 years that are growing know that they need help in safety, but not exactly sure how to do it. So that's kind of what our ideal clients are like. Then we also have our center of influence, ones that work with our clients, our ideal clients, such as medical providers. We like to work with medical providers that are working with some of the clients. If they're having a lot of incidents and they're going in there, we want to be able to come in and help. Payroll and HR firms, small HR firms. So for an example, we have an agreement. We're working with a company out of Madison and a company out of Milwaukee that now can provide everything within HR along with us helping them out in the safety standpoint. So looking with working with firms like that. Insurance brokers, which we already talked about on the commercial side. Safety product companies that are going in and seeing our ideal clients. They already have the product. They're talking to them. They know their issues. We also want to partner up with them. OSHA, working with OSHA. Obviously, when they see issues and stuff like that around, that we can work with them and help them out and get to the ultimate goal of keeping people safe. Lawyers, on the worker comp side, after the injury has occurred, working with lawyers that understand the worker comp standpoint, and then we can come in and help them do some of the mitigation for that. So, you know, just always to remember that tomorrow is too late. You know, it's kind of like this one says here right now. Tomorrow may be, and it may be too late before we know, a wave may take us away. So we want to make sure we start today. And before, we've got to finish up with one last one here. So, but I need somebody to respond to this one, okay? And the joke here is, where did kids in New York City learn multiplication? Where did they learn that? I see some of you are thinking hard, waiting for an answer though.
In school.
Oh, thank you, Eric. Go wrong. Times Square. You have to make sure they're appropriate, right? Thank you very much for your support and your time today of listening to us. I really enjoyed the opportunity to present today and definitely open to questions.
Had a really great presentation. I have to say, it's been a lot of fun getting to know you over the year. And I remember our first meeting, you weren't quite saying that you're an entrepreneur yet. You were kind of like this guy that was just looking, figuring out what his next move was. And I have to say, it's been a lot of fun just seeing you take your business and run with it. And you have a great story. So thanks for sharing all those details with us today.
Well, this pains me, but I have to give Andrew a lot of credit too. Andrew is one that really has helped me, you know, mentor a lot of us. And what he means to a lot of people is incredible. Saying a couple of nice words about him all on a roll like that hurt me, by the way. But, you know, to have somebody, to have us, different people, right, help each other, we all need that. And Andrew has helped me a tremendous amount. So.
And that's what this is all about. So I won't take personally too much credit for everything, because you came at it and you had this vision, and all I can do is sit here and cheer you on. But that's what 1 Million Cups is about. And I'm excited for Appleton because we got a lot of great businesses coming up on getting started here. So let's open it up for questions. I know Ted's business pretty well. We share an office too downtown. So I see Ted almost too often.
What a lucky guy, huh? What a lucky guy.
Let's open it up for questions here. And we'll keep an eye on Facebook in case someone has a question there. Any questions for Ted?
Nice presentation, Ted. You are amongst friends. I appreciated the dad jokes to start and finish. Way to go.
Well, you know, you got to be careful with the jokes you say nowadays. So those are always safe ones. And people a lot of times overthink them.
My question, it sounds like you came from within the industry that you then built a new business in order to impact. And so I'm curious, can you tell us this, the first customer, the first paying customer, and how you translated that right out of the gate?
Sure. Well, you know, the first paying customer came to us actually and looking off LinkedIn, you know, and didn't even know we started a company at that point.
So it wasn't an existing relationship?
Nope, no.
Okay.
It was something that just came out of literally out of the blue. They found me on the LinkedIn and said, hey, you know, this is even right at the start of the company. And that just kind of solidified that, you know, we need to get moving on this. So, yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Well, that makes it easy.
Well, as all of us know, nothing's easy, right, in business. But that's what makes it challenging and exciting for us. It sounds very easy, you know, but then we had negotiated for about 5-6 months, it seemed like. You know,
Knowing that kind of landed in your lap, I think that could have been dangerous, right? You're like, ooh, we got something. And then all of a sudden, the second and third are a year, you know, you don't find that upcoming one. So maybe take it to the next step. And how did this thing start to generate additional traction beyond that first paying client?
Well, it just kind of, you know, works with that. One, we really believe that if we're making our clients happy, they're going to tell other people. And that's really what our philosophy really is about being able to provide good, solid customer service. And at the end of the day, make sure their employees are going home safe, which is increasing their return on investment by a tremendous amount. You know, and to me, what we do is all win-win, because if we're keeping people safe, we're getting return on dollar. And that's exactly what all of us are in business for.
Yeah, my little follow-up question, then I'll let the rest of the group continue to share their feedback. But it sounds like you just described how you're interacting with the market in order to deliver the service and follow it up with what you promise. Knowing the construction business a little, actually a lot, I've been in home building for about 8 years. I'm curious, is this something that everyone is required to have? Or is this kind of an optional thing that makes it easier to comply to some of the requirements in the industry?
Well, that's a great question, Ben. And I think, first of all, the home building area, that is one of the worst areas safety-wise, you know, because a lot of times you have the home builders that are building up the houses and they don't have that money for that extra cost. And so to answer your question, that the stuff that we provide, yes, there are parts that are a requirement by OSHA. So for an example, fall protection. Anything above 6 feet, we have to have some sort of fall protection to make sure the employee doesn't hurt themselves. That didn't work in my example. We had the fall protection, we had everything. Person made a choice to unclip. We don't know why to this day. But those are the requirements that OSHA wants that you have to make sure that we're providing for these companies. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Yeah. And I think realizing that there are some requirements in there and like just allowing people to find ease in that you can check that box for them. I mean, think about some of the entrepreneurial things that you don't like to do. This is probably in a similar realm for some of these entrepreneurs who have their own construction businesses. And by simply raising your hand and saying, I'll do this for you, it's probably a pretty easy transition to a sale. So that's great. Last question. I know I said I was done, but it leads me to the competition within your area.
Yeah.
Is it something that requires local interactions, or can someone hire anyone from around the state or the country? What's the competitive landscape feel like so far?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Ben. And yes, I mean, there are different people that do the same thing I do all over the country. I have partnerships with a lot of them. Through my 25 years of health and safety, I know a lot of different groups that work with. And so, yes, The nice thing about safety, though, is if you do it correctly and stuff like that, and we're doing a good job leading it, they can take it wherever they need it to go with it.
Awesome. Any question, any other questions for Ted? Now's the time. Eric, your questions. You always have questions.
I'm coming. So I'm curious about your podcast. So you talked about how it's grown and you've got all these international people listening to it. Have you had any luck with generating an actual client lead from that podcast at this point? Or
no, not at this point. And that's the unfortunate part is with the podcast has worked out really good, has grown. We're making our brand larger. And I think it also is kind of like the your website, right? I think it's solidifying you as a person and knowing that. So I think with that, again, we're only on our 11th episode came out yesterday. So we're still fairly new on that. But I do think that the benefits of the podcast are coming. You know, just last night I had somebody down in Kentucky that wanted to get to know me a lot better and talk to me about different things, you know, and those wouldn't have been happening without the podcast.
So, I mean, that not necessarily a client, but you're getting a lead there.
In that standpoint, Eric, and I probably didn't answer your question well enough. It's definitely worth the investment. I'll kind of give you an example. My wife, at first did not want me to do the podcast. Because of cost and stuff like that. And now she helps me out on the podcast and she's like, this is the best thing we've done, you know, as far as getting out there and getting people involved and making it fun. And we enjoy doing it. It's kind of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's fun.
And have you considered, or maybe you already have this for that podcast, have you started like a Facebook group of some sort where these people can come and ask you questions and kind of really directly connect you with those individual people? Because how many people are listening to your podcast that you're never going to hear from, right? Because they're just listening to your podcast. Whereas with a group, you can kind of connect, create that connection so you can talk back and forth to each other. So
correct. And we are currently working on that, working on another force where we're just looking at working with safety professionals, you know, off that. So yeah, we are looking at that because I agree, it's very important. The people who are responding are really becoming almost a really good friends of mine that I've grown, because there's so much want to get to know, you know, and they feel they all know me very well. And I feel like I know them. And everybody that's been on the show, I either text once or twice a week already, you know, and we get along great. So I think that those are very valuable down the road, that you never know where they're going to lead. Right, Eric? And so I really think we aren't getting the dollar return on it right now, I'll tell you that. But I think that it will lead somewhere. You know, hopefully we can get a sponsor.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's cool, though. If you're enjoying it, sounds like it's a family, you know, something. While it might not generate straight revenue out of the gate, those type of initiatives are definitely that long-term, you know, 2 years from now, someone who heard you on the podcast might, you know, need your assistance. So you're generating a wide network, but honestly, it's almost like pain in enjoyment, which can activate energy to give you the boost when it's time to go do the hard, cold sales calls, right?
the cold calling, right? Yep.
Yeah. So it might just be kind of within the mix of activities that, yes, it'd be nice to generate leads through it, and I think that can happen. But sometimes when you're building a business, it's about fueling the passion of your work along with the you know, financial stability. And I know that I'm perhaps a little guilty of like maybe skewing too much on the fun and enjoyment and forgetting that you gotta still sell. But just a thought on the podcast.
No, James, you're very true. You know, we started out the podcast just myself reading, and I couldn't even stand to listen to myself the first four episodes or three episodes. And so started interviewing people on the next four, got a little bit better. And then I felt I wanted to make more conversation. So my wife joined in now, and she's communications. And so we have good conversation, and it has made a big difference as far as analytics and stuff like that goes on. So it's fun because she actually looks forward to it now and she's involved in it. So
I'm curious what James, I'm curious what James thinks about your presentation. If he has any questions, real quick though, on the on that podcast, maybe this group can help in that regard. Who's an interesting guest for you?
Interesting guest for us. Our focus really, like I said, a change from what I originally thought, but we're also looking for the management type people that are running different parts of operations within organizations that want to focus on safety. We'd also love to have those people on. In our first couple episodes, we had some executives on and talking about safety and stuff like that. But those are the type of people that we'd like to talk to.
That's cool. I was actually going to ask, with the guests you've had on so far, how have you gone about connecting with them? Have they been people in your network already, or has it been you've just kind of targeted people and thought they'd be a good fit and reached out? Because it sounds like it might be a bit of a mix from how you were describing some of that before.
Yeah, when I first started, I went to people that I knew. I would have to say our first three to four people are people I know personally. And then I started reaching out. When I saw these people winning these awards for safety, I reached out to them. And it's amazing how many of them got back to me and how quickly they got back to me. And they wanted to be on the podcast. They thought it was a great idea and that they're passionate about helping other safety professionals. So we kind of fueled each other. I've had a lot of people say they can't believe the amount of energy that I have, and that's always nice to hear from other people that are passionate about safety, things like that. So,
Hey, Ted, do you do anything in relation to equipment or on the fleet side?
Yes, we do. We don't necessarily sell product, but we help companies determine what they need so they know what they're going to be buying and stuff like that. But we do not do the actual product side, but we do a lot of the consulting part of what they need. What would be the best one? What's most cost efficient?
Well, I'd love to reconnect with you because I just, and I won't hijack the presentation, but I just rebranded my company into Fleet and Safety. So I'd love to just connect and maybe learn from you and bounce some things off you.
Yeah. I have an opportunity right now that you and I can probably work together on.
Sounds great, Ted. Great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Ted, you should join the Appleton Podcast Co-op. You might be able to get in with the co-founder.
Maybe. Yeah, I definitely like to join the local local podcasters because I am very much a novelist, but I just go and do my speak and I leave right now, and I like to learn more about the process. So, yeah, absolutely.
It's a pretty cool thing I've heard, so you might
Something, I'm a little far away from this, but something tells me Andrew has a hand in the activity.
I actually don't. I'm bragging for Eric right now.
Yeah. I let Andrew pimp out the Appleton podcast. Nice. I don't ever talk about it, and I just let Andrew do it for me. So
you need a hype man, so that's smart.
Yeah. So and he does it for free. So like he's like my marketing department without having to pay anything. So
Eric and David Kalsow, another guy who frequents 1 Million Cups Appleton. You started that together, right?
Like, yes. Sure. We do have a problem with that. All the podcasters seem to leave the area though. So just so you know, if you go to that website I just put in chat, Ted, you mm-hmm. may move in a month because everybody else does. Just so you know. So
get on it right now.
Yeah. So if you were planning to relocate, that would be the perfect website to go to because it almost guarantees that you will. So.
That's funny. Ted, I'm curious about like the wearable stuff, the safety things that are happening in those smart devices to track employees, their movements, accidents. Any thoughts or how are you engaging in kind of the technology side of keeping folks safe?
Well, as you probably already know, Ben, there's a lot of stuff that I've made, especially since the COVID, right? Looking at 6 feet distances, you put on your hard hats. There's a lot of different things that are out there. that are making that difference. My concern is that sometimes we worry about some things and we forget about the other things. And so with the focus all being on COVID right now in a lot of places, a study came out yesterday or the day before, I put it on my LinkedIn, that construction is the largest industry with COVID. And so what is the focus then? Becomes just on COVID, where sometimes we forget about the daily tasks that we need to do to make sure that we're safe. We might forget to do that tie off, as I shared before. We might forget to do those little things, you know, in there. So as far as technology, I think there's a lot of great stuff out there. We use, when we do audits, we have something that'll come back and it will let you know exactly out of 100% where the company is, you know, based on the audit that I conducted and looked at. And being able to show those analytics to clients and to kind of look at, you know what, this is where we're having, where we're struggling at. But a lot of clients sometimes have success, and those are the worst sometimes, because when they start having success, what happens? We start putting on the blinders. And that's where companies really probably need the most help, is that because you had a nice score on your audit doesn't necessarily mean you're a safe organization. Could mean that you're a lucky organization. So being able to use a lot of that technology to help us to prove to whoever we're working with that this is what's going on.
I'm curious, with these audits you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Have you done enough audits within companies that really don't have like a safety program per se to be able to say, like, because I assume most companies are somewhat focused on safety. So do most companies come in at a, like you said that there's a score. Do they usually, before they have any sort of really safety program, they all come in this range and then, you know, bringing on a safety board, it'll improve it. Or are the companies like all over the place where some are really, really good, some are really, really bad, you know?
That's a good question. And I would have to kind of answer that with everybody's all over the board. You have different clients, I mean, different people that are different companies that are all over. There are companies, usually the larger ones, they get it. You know why? Because they've gone through the pains. You know, number one, they've looked at hurting people, which is awful, right? But number two, there's a huge financial advantage. In construction, for an example, there's a lot of the larger projects, you can't even bid the project unless you have a really good safety record, because the owner doesn't want to take on the liability. And that means everything. So these smaller construction companies that don't think that it'll ever affect them, they will. It'll affect them down the road if they want to get bigger and they want to get the bigger projects. I've been there, I've been down that road, so I understand that. There are some companies in general industry too. They get it, but they just want to do the minimums, you know, and they've been hurt, you know. But if you put safety in and you put it in correctly, it's going to make your company more efficient, because everybody's talking about what they're going to do next. It's, in my opinion, obviously I'm biased, but it's very important to have safety for the effectiveness of an organization. It really increases the effectiveness, you know, by lack of turnover. You have people that are feeling safe. You have people that are communicating. The safety culture is very important if a company is going to survive, in my opinion. And we can do that for them, Eric.
Ted, I think back to the story that you shared during your presentation of that tragic thing that really turned the page for you personally. Has there been a situation where your service has alleviated that type of experience or helped someone who maybe did have an accident work through it in a better way?
Yes. You know, throughout my career, I've had some issues like that have come about. I had one project I was actually hired by a company to come in. And what had happened was they gave us 3 days off and said we could no longer work for that company anymore. They don't want anything to do with us. And this was probably a $450 million project. They didn't want us to be there anymore. And there was another project just like it coming up in the future. They didn't want us to bid it because of this. And so they sent me over there, and I was able to change that culture within 18 months. We went from being the worst contractor, being the best contractor, and also to being not allowed to bid that next project, but being preferred contractor and making sure that I was down there. So these systems work, and I truly believe that they do. And it's about safety, but it's also about building the culture and making the organization more effective and return on investment.
Tracy, I want to hear from you, your thoughts for sure, but I'll give you a second. Construction is easy for me to keep rolling on these conversations. So, Ted, I'm curious, it feels like a community-driven opportunity to collaborate, network, engage with other types of service-oriented entrepreneurs or businesses in this same industry. Are you mixing it up with, construction technology companies, different like home building associations, some of the professional groups, but just kind of weaving yourself into the culture? Or is that already in place from some of your past activities?
Well, that's a good question, Ben. A little bit of a combination. I do have those, from 25 years of being in that realm. I do have some connections, have a lot of partnerships that we work with. But we're also trying to weave our way in here more of the local stuff, because a lot of stuff I took care of was nationwide, and not necessarily around here. So I'm trying to kind of get ourselves more established. I just currently joined the Fox Valley Safety Council here on the board. I was past president many years ago, and now I'm back on the board again and trying to get involved with more of the local manufacturing companies and some of the smaller construction companies. So yes, and also want to get involved with SHRM at some point too, if anybody knows any contacts there, which is the HR realm of that.
Awesome. Tracy, do you have any?
Putting all the pressure on you, Tracy.
That means you've done a great job.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Ted, thanks so much for joining us. The last question of 1 Million Cups is always, what can the community do for you?
Well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to present and kind of tell our story. I really appreciate that opportunity, number one. Number two, I think looking at the end of our presentation, looking at our people that we are involved with, our ideal clients, looking at how we can maybe perhaps know somebody that may be within there. And then also knowing anybody that may be, I call them a circle of influence working around them that I could also, that we can also talk to that can help our ideal clients. That work with our ideal clients regularly. So those are two things that I can think of, along with the podcast. If people could just download the podcast, kind of listen to it, and let other people know about the podcast, because obviously the bigger that we get it, the more opportunities that we have with the podcast. So looking at those type of opportunities.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, hey, thanks again, Ted. This was a great final presentation of 2020. And thanks everyone for joining us today. We will be back in 2021. I know I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully we'll be back in person at some point. If we don't touch base before then, have a great rest of your year. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy new year, whatever it is. Stay warm and stay healthy, and we'll see you guys next year.
And if anybody does have a business, i.e. I'm pretty sure James does, and needs to present at 1 Million Cups, we are completely empty for 2021. So please submit an application and present.
We have lots of room. We can pretty much make anything work.
We can probably fit you in. So
what Wednesday are you firing back up?
Not sure yet.
I think I have it canceled. I think the first Wednesday after New Year's Eve is canceled, but then after that, I have it.
All right, so January 13th.
Yeah.
All right. So, we'll load that pipeline up together. This will be fun. Happy New Year, everyone. This has been a treat visiting Wisconsin.
Thanks for joining us, Ben.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. and thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.